Everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back and ready to talk about another week of Joe Milton. Only 4 weeks left after tonight until something will happen where we will find out one of these women will maybe be in love with one of the Joe Millionaires. And here we are back to talk about it. Here she is. Her bags are packed. She's gussied up. It's Jenny Autumn.
Rob, there's a big battle this week. It's not the Rams and the Bengals.
Yes.
It's Steven versus Kurt for who wins the crappier
date. The king.
And the king is here.
The king is here.
That is the must-see battle of the week.
Right.
Clearly.
Right. Boy. Yes, nothing got us more fired up for the Super Bowl than this matchup, which might have been the dumbest competition I've ever watched in the history of reality television.
Which is really saying something, considering your job and how many competitions you've watched in your time.
So dumb. That this was that I felt like a new low for Joe Millionaire tonight.
Wow.
I really do.
So you're trying to say that it's what Heath Luman from the Big Brother franchise, that you don't believe that he took his talents to Joe Millionaire?
I'm not sure. Okay. But and this competition was also, I thought, the high point, the dumbest competition I've ever seen, was also the best part of this hour of Joe Millionaire. We spent an hour of Joe Millionaire to get rid of Suzanne. Who?
And I mean, Suzanne, lovely girl, but this has been telegraphed for
weeks.
I'm
a big Suzanne fan.
Yeah, apparently not.
Not really, not enough. You know, I completely felt the same. Like, you know, 5-10 minutes into this episode, I turned to Phil, who was just, you know, in the room, not really paying attention. I said,
Joe Fillionaire.
And I said, this is better than last week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they did start strong. Mm-hmm. I will say that. Mm-hmm. They did start strong.
Yeah. I mean, the competition was something, but other than that, really, what did we even see this week?
We just saw a lot of, I mean, Rob, like,
Did anybody even get blackout drunk?
No, although there was definitely still alcohol consumption, but there was no blackout drunkenness this time. They reined it in for a week, I guess, or however many days this was. I think, like, ultimately the show flourishes.
Yes.
When they showcase the true star of the show, which you think I'm going to say Brianna, which she is, but it's Martin.
Yeah.
And the more Martin content we get, the better this show is. And that's why the first half of the show, you know, we at least get some Martin. And the back half, it's the same old song and dance. And so this is the story that I'm most invested in, and I'm not getting enough of it. I want to know more about what's going on with Martin.
Yeah, he had very little to do all through the episode other than call the battle between Steven and Kurt. I mean, I like where they're going with trying to make Steven and Kurt fight, but they never will. Like, they're more in love with each other than I think than anybody else. Like, and just in terms of like, that they're like best friends. There's like no rivalry whatsoever.
Yeah. It's completely manufactured. This rivalry between the two of them, you know, we get these little scenes in the confessionals where they're like, oh, I guess we got a little healthy rivalry going on.
Yeah. Like, I wonder if Whitney think she likes me or she likes you. I guess we'll have to find out.
And I can't imagine you're that invested in being interested in the same girl as your, like, bro, when you're also both interested in, like, five other girls each. And probably more interested in, like, three of them more than the one that you're both interested in. So,
yeah,
like, it doesn't play that well. But they're trying to push this narrative. And this, I mean, it could have been a way more interesting element to the show. And I think I've talked about this in a previous podcast where like they weren't living together and like, you know, becoming best friends, where there was like actually like a like an element of competition where you don't know this person. You have no emotional attachment to this person. You're trying to steal his girl. Right. That would be more
Mr.
fun.
Mr. Steal Your Girl. That's what the show should be. But also
coming to Fox
2023. A couple of weeks ago, it was like after they went to the movies, they were like, no more group dates. These group dates are just like totally cramping our style. We need more one-on-one dates. And guess what? No drama.
Yeah. But that's the thing is, and that I think is one of the issues with the show is like the producers of the show, and I think most of the audience of the show, you and I included, want drama. But the two men that were cast for this show do not want drama. Mm-hmm. And they are trying to avoid it at all costs. And there's so much discussion in this show of like, oh man, we made the women mad again. We got to go give them some scones. Like,
Here's what the problem is also. I think that Kurt, I think, was miscast. Okay? Kurt should have been a plant that was there to mess with the real Joe Millionaire. Like, he should have been that the Kurt character should be in on the Joe Millionaire, and he should be trying to sabotage the Joe Millionaire and steal all of the women.
So it's the Joe Millionaire saboteur.
Yes, yes.
And this is Mr. Steal Your Girl.
He's Mr. Steal Your Girl.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the producers could be like feeding the Mr. Steal Your Girl. Like, well, what Joe didn't know is that we found the world's greatest pickup artist, and he is playing the part of the person that doesn't have the money. The women don't know who's the real millionaire, but Joe Millionaire doesn't know that we actually hired the world's greatest pickup artist to steal all of the women away.
The thing is that, like, again, even under this premise, Kurt was miscast because I don't think that he could be smooth enough to be the greatest pickup artist.
Well, that's why he's miscast. Yeah.
I mean, they could have done this with Winston. Mm-hmm. Like, if anything, Winston has stolen more girls than anyone else in this scenario. Like,
he got
a girl kicked off.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't you want to see Steven like, oh, nobody likes me and I'm rich. Wah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Rob, you've been low on Kurt this whole time. You've been like, why is he here? No one's interested in his journey.
I don't understand what he's doing. Like, these women are just going to pick the guy who's not even the real Joe Millionaire. And then.
But that's the thing is, like, Kurt represents the true spirit of what the original Joe Millionaire was.
I guess so.
There's a question now of whether he has money, and they have the option of maybe trying to go for somebody else if they think that he has more money. But truly, like, Kurt is the one with the story of like, okay, when you choose me and find out that I am not worth $10 million, are you still going to stick around?
But does he ever talk about that? He doesn't ever mention it. He doesn't ever seem concerned. He's like, whoa, Carolyn. I mean, she has an ex-husband. Like, he's not like, oh, Carolyn, I really like her, but will she like me if she knows that I'm not Joe Millionaire?
Yeah, no, he's really not concerned about that. And I really do feel like the whole millionaire of it all is like such an unlike important part of the show, and really gets like yada yada and like tossed in at like the preview. It's like, oh, and remember, like they might not be in it for the right reasons. Like, it's not really a key part of the show. Like, they kind of like manufacture these moments where they're like, oh, but like this person talks about whether you know which one's the millionaire, they must be like a gold digger. Like, they have nothing else to talk about. Like, that's the premise of the show.
Y'all lost the plot. I don't even know what I'm watching anymore. Ooh, you'll eat Twinkies and Oreos and you'll go in a stagecoach.
Like, what are we rooting for at this
point? I don't know. I don't even know.
Death.
Well, like, oh, I hope the butler wears a crazy outfit.
Yeah, that's like, I'm still upset that I did not.
I hope somebody gets blackout drunk.
Yeah.
All right.
I will say about the outfit.
Yes.
One of my favorite things, and this is why I'm really happy when we do get Martin featured, is like when they line them all up. And I'm sure we'll get to it in more detail for the competition in the backyard or the front yard or whatever of the Lakewood Manor or Lakeshore Manor. I forget what it's called. Lakeshore Manor. Seeing like Kurt and Steven in their like skinny cropped pants, mm-hmm. and then like Martin standing beside them in like the most oversized, like sloppy suit I've ever seen. It's just
they only
beautiful.
Had one butler costume at Party yeah. City.
Yeah. It was sorry. XXL.
Sorry, Martin. Okay. All right. So we start the episode with like a little bit of a question. Did Kurt say to Carolyn at the last elimination ceremony, Jenny, I miss seeing you? And then we had like a booth replay.
Yeah,
that was inconclusive.
Happened. No. He definitely said I missed you this week.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm pretty sure we got the closed captioning of it in the last episode. I remember it from
last
week.
But was it audible?
It had to have been audible because the girls were talking about hearing Kurt say that he missed Carolyn.
Okay.
So I think Kurt's not a very skilled whisperer, I guess.
Okay. All right.
And this is a growing problem with the women is that like Kurt is not doing a good enough job of making the other women feel like there's a chance. Because of how he acts with Carolyn.
Well, I wonder if maybe a producer told Kurt that he needed to, like I kind of am wondering, like, did a producer maybe tell Carolyn, like, you should tell Kurt, like, he should date the other women? And she's like, yeah, I should. And it seems like that Kurt seems to, almost like, even sometimes against his will, I have to let the other women feel like they have a chance. Otherwise, the show will be ruined.
Yeah, I definitely feel like that's how he felt early on, for sure, where he was like, oh, we just got here. I got to let this play out a little bit. But, and again, I might be falling for the edit here. I do feel like we're getting closer, like as we get deeper into this, that he is kind of getting a little irritated with some of this business here. And maybe there is a little bit of a wandering eye.
I wonder if it was like it started off as like, hey, don't you think you should like let the other girls feel like they have a chance? Like, we don't want to ruin the surprise of the show. And like, okay. And then Carolyn, luckily for the production, does not take that well. And then it's like, oh, don't you think Carolyn is being kind of possessive? Like, oh yeah, she's totally ruining everything.
Yeah, and I mean they've got Steven in on the whole thing too. Mm-hmm.
Steven is
not Carolyn's biggest fan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, and the guys are talking about, hey, look, there could be maybe some competition for Whitney. You know, even though she's like, not the main person for each of us. Maybe
she's like three or four on both of their lists.
Yeah. And what if she used her coin?
Maybe Whitney will pull out that golden coin and take the decision out of our hands.
Ooh, wouldn't that be a twist?
Wouldn't that be something if that happened?
Yep. Those coins sure are a big twist.
Mm-hmm. Big twists. The stage is all set. All right.
Yeah.
So Martin calls everybody out because guess what, ladies? The boys are going to compete.
Yeah. Some role reversal. The men are competing for their dates.
Yes. because
love it.
Lakeshore Manor. Now I don't even know the name.
I know. I'm
thrown off.
I'm having Mandela effect here. Yes. Like I don't know what.
Whatever
the, name is.
The house.
Is it Lakeshore? Is it Lakeside?
Every castle needs a king, and we need a Kurt or Stephen will be the king of the manor.
Is this a castle? It's not a castle.
It's kind of a lake house. Yeah.
It's like a. It's a very nice house on the lake.
Hmm. Hmm.
It's
all right.
This is the most hilarious. Well, I don't know. The element of like, oh, this is like the fancy, like high life. And like, I'm a British butler. Like, they're trying to capture the energy of the 2003 Joe Millionaire. And it's like, nothing else matches it.
Yeah.
It's like,
you're in Georgia.
You're in freaking Georgia. You're in like suburban, mm-hmm. like Lake Georgia. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Like,
this is not
Stephen is the real millionaire. You think he has a butler?
Yeah. No.
Like again, I don't know. Does anybody have a butler?
Like in general in life,
like in the world,
do you think butlers still exist?
Like, does Jeff Bezos have a butler? Like, are there any butlers?
Yeah, and like,
and do they wear? Do they dress
do
like
you think
this?
The millennials killed butlers, and I don't mean like literally.
No, they didn't kill them.
But
yeah, yeah.
But do you think like,
maybe think, like hotels have like doormen?
Yeah, like,
but does anybody have a butler?
And if they do have a butler, like, are they dressing like Martin?
Yeah. Yeah. Is there anybody like that's a professional butler?
This is the big question. Like, mm-hmm. I want to know what a modern butler looks like.
Yeah. Let me look like butler jobs. Let me see.
They're probably just like, it's, you know what the equivalent is?
What?
It's like a personal assistant. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. But what's the average salary for a butler in 2022?
Okay, I'm going to say, I mean, like, if you're working for someone rich, I have to feel like the salary is pretty good.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say 100K.
No, it's about $63,000, according to this. I don't know. I feel like a butler is like, you know, I feel like that the maid or the housekeeper is doing most of the hard work.
Okay, so here's the difference. Okay, what's the difference between a butler and a maid? Is the maid only doing cleaning and like the butler? I'm actually just now, I don't know what a butler does.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Like
I buttle.
They buttle. Like this butler, what does he do? He just
rings a bell and makes announcements. Things. Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes he doesn't even go downstairs. Like he's like kind of a lazy butler if you think about it. Like mm-hmm. he doesn't even leave the floor he's on sometimes. He uses like an intercom.
Yeah.
He rings the bell in front of a microphone. Like
yeah. Okay. Let's see. According to nannyandbutler.com or nannybutler.com, the role of the butler is like a button that holds the family together. His many duties. Oh, can a woman be a butler? Why not?
Yeah. What is it still called? A butler? Is it like a butlet?
Yeah. It's called a butlet. Yeah. Yeah. That if women can't be butlers, there's something wrong with this with high society.
I mean, I think everything about this situation is just very archaic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can there be male maids?
Yeah.
Like, let's challenge these like very old traditional gendered roles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I want to see the new age butler and maid roles.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to know what's going on. What has Jeff Bezos got going on?
Yeah. And do they have to wear the uniform? Yeah.
Yeah. What are they wearing?
Mm-hmm.
Are they decked out in Amazon basics?
Yeah. I think you should be able to wear shorts. No.
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, if he was, I don't have that much faith in Jeff Bezos caring about the comfort of his staff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Maybe not. They're okay. Wearing a full suit, just like Martin.
Yeah. Okay. That I'd be, if we have any butlers that listen to the podcast, can you listen to podcasts if you're a butler?
I mean, I would hope so. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't know what they're doing in the house, but I hope they could have like an AirPod in like one ear while they're butling.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So
butlers, let us know.
Let us know. Let us know. Do we want to interview a butler?
I want to interview Martin the butler, but he's not a real butler, so yeah. I don't know. I would like some intel about whether butlers have been, you know, eliminated from society.
Yes. Okay. Well, all right. We got distracted. I think this butler's like at the White House. I think they have butlers.
Okay. You think Biden's got butlers?
Yeah. I think they do. Okay. Yeah. So, all right. This is the dumbest competition that we've ever seen.
We got Martin Probst.
Yeah. And this includes all of the seasons of Survivor, Big Brother, The Amazing Race, every other show that I've ever watched. This was the dumbest challenge that there ever was. Okay, let me explain the challenge, because there's a lot of people that just listen to the podcast and don't watch the show.
Yeah, let's go through
it. Okay, all right. This is a little bit of an obstacle course, okay? This challenge starts with, we're going to test both sides of the Joe Millionaire. Because like a gold coin, every Joe Millionaire has two sides.
Yeah.
A rich side, for richer and for poorer.
Or poorer, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and this competition will test your richer side and your poorer side.
I guess.
Yeah. Because everybody knows, if you're wealthy, you know how to open champagne and pour it. Mm-hmm. And if you're poor, not P-O-U-R like the champagne. If you're poor, you know how to throw hay.
You know, you've thrown a hay bale no matter what.
Yes.
No matter what city you're from, if you are poor, you have thrown hay bales.
That's right. Okay, so this challenge starts with, on go, throw 7 bales of hay. Where? Wherever. Just throw them. Just get them out of here. Get this hay out of here, poor person.
Like, the thing that's wild to me is, like, they brought this hay in from somewhere.
Yeah.
Like they're not on a farm. They brought the hay in. Like, I don't even think there was a farm anywhere near where this was filmed.
Yeah.
And they just brought the hay
in. Get some hay in here. A rich person won't even know how to move a bale of hay.
Yeah. They won't even know what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Then there's a giant tire. Flip it over 3 times.
What do you, like, how do you think they came up with the numbers? Like, okay, so the hay bale, throwing it seven hay bales.
Yes.
And the tire 3 times. Mm-hmm. Like, do you think there's any sort of special meaning here?
I don't know.
Completely arbitrary.
I'm not sure. Let's say maybe add up all the numbers. and Martin also said, then you'll flip the tire over 3 times.
3. There's a game within a game here, I'm thinking.
Then you're going to pop open 10 bottles of champagne.
Okay, we got 7, 3, 10. Okay.
Okay. Then you're going to pour all this pyramid of champagne glasses. Fill them all up.
And to be fair, they weren't like typical champagne glasses. I don't really know what kind of glasses they were.
Probably glued together.
Yo, definitely. There's no way. And they were definitely dollar store plastic.
Yes,
like,
yes.
They were.
And glued together.
They were, yeah.
Yes. Okay. Then after that, you'll take a sledgehammer. And with this sledgehammer, for some reason, you will smash 5 watermelons.
Yes. What a life you lead here in the Big Brother house.
What a life we lead in Lakeshore Manor.
What the hell are we doing?
I don't know.
What part of being rich or poor do you smash 5 watermelons with a sledgehammer?
They lost me there. I did not know what
the watermelon. What the hell is this? Why?
Okay, In the very first episode we covered, I said that these two gave me Jackson Mickey and Jack from Big Brother 21 vibes. I'm just saying.
Why
watermelon might mean something, okay?
Why smash watermelons? And then maybe the dumbest part of the entire thing. And then at the end, put on a tuxedo as fast as you can. Why? It was like no mirror. What are you doing?
The true sign of being rich is getting into your tuxedo
as fast as possible.
And the crown that they had to put on at the end was the cheapest dollar store shit I've ever seen in my entire life. It was like the equivalent of like the plastic tiara when like, you know, in like college, like a bunch of drunk girls would go out for like someone's birthday. Like it looked worse than that.
Yeah. It's a bachelorette party.
Yeah. It's bad. Like they couldn't even make it look good. It was so bad.
Yeah. It's a bachelorette party for like Brianna's wedding.
Yeah. Honestly, the whole competition, that would make sense. That's the setting up for all of these things happening.
Yeah. Who do you think could get through this competition faster, Puya or Mike Bloom?
Wow. I feel like I'm gonna get in trouble no matter what.
I think it's a toss up between the hay bales. You know, I think
Puya's got more upper body.
I think
strength.
So. I think so. Yeah. Puya's flipping the tire over.
And he's flipping the tire better. And
I think he's getting the champagne bottles open faster than Mike.
I feel like Mike's popped some champagne in his days.
Is he popping bottles?
I think he's popped a few bottles in his day. I think Van Horn Mike definitely popped a bottle. I don't know. But that could be where he just makes up a little bit of ground.
Yeah.
Now, here's the real question. Who's getting into a tux quicker?
I think Mike's got the tux down quicker.
Because he was like a theater guy, right?
Yeah. I think he's the master of the quick change.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a pretty even race. I think Puya's got the upper body strength, the first two things. Mike pulls up the rear at the end, and we have a photo finish here.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's the competition. Now, we didn't even talk about what are we playing for? Worth playing for? Yeah. Okay.
I don't think so.
One of you, the king, will go on a fairy tale date.
Ugh. Anything that's ever described as like fairy tale or like anything like Disney-esque, like fantasy, I count me the hell out. Like, I'm done.
You're not a princess?
I am the furthest thing from a princess, Rob, if it's not already obvious to you.
One of these dates is a fairy tale. The other is not. The other date is so stupid. I get what you're trying to do here. Fairy tale. Okay. Stagecoach. Okay. Well, I got it. But the opposite of a fairy tale is not a bounce house with Oreos and Twinkies and Bud Light.
I don't know if they were going for opposite, but like they said, like it's a humble version of it, but it's like, I will say, losing is winning in this state.
Right.
In this competition. Like, at least in my opinion, I think the idea of going to a bouncy castle is more fun than being dragged by a horse.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense. we have the competition. Okay. The ladies, they liked what they were seeing, Jenny.
They love when they take their shirts off. Now, Rob, I did actually want to bring something up here and get your opinion on this.
Yes.
Because at this moment when the men derobed and took their shirts off and started baling the hay, Phil, who was in the perimeter,
Joe Fillionaire,
he said, "I feel like it's so obvious that Steven is the millionaire because look at his abs. You don't get abs like that without paying for a personal trainer, a dietitian. And I think you look at Steven's body compared to Kurt, and I think that it's obvious that Steven has the money." How do you feel about this?
Okay. I mean, I did not come to that same conclusion. I didn't think that Kurt is any slouch.
He's not, but I think he's not as chiseled and like beefed up as Steven.
Okay, that's a good note. I would love to hear if other people are thinking that too.
But then I also question, like, I think there are probably like tons of billionaires that are not like that yoked. So
yeah,
I think, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
but that was something he said, like he thinks that based on the physique of Steven, he's saying you don't just get that way from farming, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a good question. Is every guy who's jacked a multimillionaire?
That's the true question.
That's the question. Here. That's the question. But again, the ladies liked what they saw.
They did.
Yeah.
Shirts off for the girls.
Yes.
That was fun.
Somebody said this during the popping bottles. Steven seemed like he was just falling behind woefully. Started pouring the champagne all over himself, and one of the women yelled out,
"Let me lick the champagne off your body."
Whoa, that might have been Brianna.
I'm thirsty.
Let me lick the champagne off your body.
They haven't given us our rations today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get it. But this was actually not a terrible move from Steven. Because first of all, if you're Steven, you are throwing this.
You think it was a throw? Steven said it was a throw.
I think it was.
Like a bale of hay.
Yeah. He, you know, he played his part where he showed off where he needed to show off. And then he,
when he took his shirt off.
Yeah. And then he scales back. Mm-hmm. So, it's obvious. Oh, I don't know how to open champagne. And even if he's like actually struggling with it, he's like, let's just make a joke of it. Like, let's have fun with it. I'm going to pour champagne on myself. Look at my chiseled body that I paid for because I'm rich.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good move because it's like if you're going to look stupid and bad at something, you have to make fun of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and
Steven,
I think that he pivoted.
He understood the assignment. Yeah,
he did.
So Kurt ends up getting dressed. It's neck and neck for a little bit, but we all know that Steven does not know how to dress himself without his mom. Yes. And Kurt is the winner. And let's go to Martin the butler for the winning call.
Look at this. A king is born. All hail the king.
Like, it's a little dramatic.
He was very excited. The music, too. I was like, all this for that date?
All this. The king is born.
I felt like I was watching like the most dramatic soccer match or something. Like,
look at this. A king is born. All hail the king.
The triumphant like score in the background.
Wow. Look at this. All this for you, Kurt, your kingdom.
A king is born.
This was the highlight. This was the apex of the Joe Millionaire this week.
I hope you've enjoyed the podcast thus far because we peaked here.
We peaked. This is as good as it gets this week. Yeah.
I'm so confused by the king is born statement, because it's like he started off by referring to both of them as kings. Mm-hmm. And then that, like, one of the kings was going to get dethroned. Mm-hmm. But then he says that a king was born. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't is this like a chicken and egg situation? like what existed first? The king was born, but it was dethroned. Yeah,
is a king born? Just like official, were they princes? I don't know.
I don't understand.
Okay.
I'm not high class enough to understand.
We don't get it. We don't get it. We're too lowbrow to understand how kings are born.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the dates. The dates are happening. Okay. So each of the guys will get to pick a woman to go on a date. They have to decide which woman to go on the date. They have so many options. One of the things they talk about a lot in this episode is Cala. And the Cala code. Is the Cala code? Is the Cala code 73105?
Oh my God.
Was that it in front of them the whole time? 7 hay bales? 3. Is she an escape room? That was the Cala code?
I mean, we did have someone wanting to escape at one point, so perhaps this whole thing is an escape room.
Boy, Cala. Boy, I just can't crack the code. Just I can't.
I mean, one of them said Cala code at one point, and they were like, that is the most
astute thing. Hilarious.
Yeah, like, and we have to get this into every episode now.
That's her thing.
The Cala code, man. It's the Cala code.
The code.
Gotta crack the Cala code.
Man, I wish I knew the code. I would crack it.
Yeah. I would crack that code so fast, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the code is just like, spend 10 minutes with her.
Yeah. The code is like, don't, you know, have your tongue down Carolyn's throat.
Right. I talk to her and she doesn't seem to want to kiss me. So I just don't know what to do. I can't figure out this code.
You'll never make it as Mr. Steal Your Girl on Joe Millionaire Steal Your Girl coming January 2023.
Like, if I talk to her and she doesn't want to kiss me, I don't know. What does she want? Yeah.
I can't figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It must be some sort of mystery.
So what are they going to do? Who are they going to, like, who should they take on the date? Steven's pushing Kurt to take Amanda, because if you take Carolyn, none of the other women are going to think they have a chance anymore.
And like, they straight up say, you'll have more fun with Amanda.
Yeah.
It's like,
seemingly,
if you're Kurt and your best bro is telling you, take this girl on a date over this girl, you're going to have more fun, and you're agreeing with him. Like, does that not have an impact? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Clearly not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then Steven was deciding between Annie and, I don't even, and Cala.
The Cala code. Gotta crack it. Gotta crack it. I
would
have her as like 7th in Steven's rankings.
Exactly.
Has he ever talked to her before?
They talked very briefly. Mm-hmm. And enough that he decided that he's competing with Kurt for her.
She's so mysterious.
Like, she's at least 4 on both of their lists. Mm-hmm. Like, what is happening here?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Why isn't Brianna in the conversation here? He talks so much about how he's like into Brianna. It's like, why wasn't it between Annie and Brianna? I don't understand.
I don't know. Okay. I like this. Carolyn just got dressed. She's like, come on.
That's a power move.
I'm getting picked. I'm getting dressed.
I mean, this is why all of the girls are going to conspire against her.
They hate her so much.
They can't stand her.
They hate her so much. Okay. All right.
I'm sure they're all friends now. It's fine.
I'm sure. Martin rings
There's
the bell.
Probably a group text without her.
Big
though,
Super Bowl party this weekend at the Manor. Yeah. You get the whole gang back together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because
I'm sure it's great.
Yeah. There's some people that know how to party. That'll be there. That'll be a good. That's the best ticket if you can get that one. Okay. So Martin brings them all down. All right. Carolyn, Kurt would like you to join him on the fairy tale date.
And everyone pretends to be shocked.
Yes. Oh my God. Even Suzanne says, but will I ever get more than 10 minutes with one of these guys? No.
No.
No, you don't deserve it. You get nothing. Go
Rob,
knit.
Go knit. A scarf, though.
Go knit.
She was knitting for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm a big Suzanne fan.
I'm mad at Suzanne.
Okay.
And we wasted an hour to eliminate Suzanne, who never had any. Her one thing that she had for the season was that she hated Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
That was her story.
Yeah. We really lost more potential for drama and storylines when we lost Rachel. Mm-hmm. I mean, she delivered when she was here, but there was a whole storyline that could have been explored if Rachel had stuck around, and that would have been a storyline for Suzanne. And
okay.
Unfortunately, that went down the drain.
Yep. Steven is going to pick Annie.
Mm-hmm.
Annie's looking like the pick, no?
Yeah, I feel like we're very much telegraphing an Annie win here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Win? I mean, I guess it...
Guess so.
You win if you pick Steven because he's rich.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay, all right. Brianna is pissed. Just let Brianna go. Nobody's picking her either.
Here's the thing. I think Steven really sees potential.
Then
with
go.
Her.
Then take her on a date. Then do something with her. Like both these guys, Suzanne is like, we can't get rid of her.
I'm a big Suzanne fan.
But you never talk to her. You never do anything. Like with Brianna, it's like, Brianna. I could really see myself with her, but she just doesn't have any. Then pay attention to her.
You want to give her some confidence? Pay attention.
Yeah,
to her.
Brianna, tell Steven that you have the hots for one of the camera guys.
It is kind of messed up, though, that like the three girls got left behind last week. And those were Jenny, Carolyn, and Brianna. And so Kurt picks Carolyn, hasn't had time alone with her in a while. Jenny's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And Steven doesn't pick Brianna.
And what do you do all day? What do you do all day when you're not dating one of these winners?
You spiral.
She literally said that she's spiraling in this episode. Brianna is literally spiraling.
Jenny's literally like shaking.
Brianna is spiraling.
Is literally like spiraling. Yeah.
Yeah. But I love that moment where, Brianna says that she's spiraling and Suzanne's just like, I'm not. Because Suzanne saw the writing on the wall. She was ready.
I still have two pages of notes. Nothing happened.
I mean, let's not yada yada the bounce castle.
Okay. All right. So, all right, we actually see Whitney talk about, maybe she used the coin tonight. I did just see a woman use the coin and get eliminated for it, but maybe I should.
Well, she's almost talking about like, it's as if she has like the immunity idol and everyone knows that she has the immunity idol. And she's like, I just got to get rid of this thing because it's making me a target.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, I just don't want to even have it anymore. So it's like she's got this pressure on her to like use it, but also she wants to use it properly so that she doesn't like get herself eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
But also, if you're a girl that has kissed both of the guys at this point, you got to be feeling like kind of safe because like there are women here that haven't kissed either of them. So if you're Whitney, I don't think you're really worried about using your coin and getting eliminated because like if one of them isn't super into you, like the other one, the chances are pretty good that they're going to keep you around.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like Suzanne hasn't kissed anyone.
Yeah. Okay. Well, She might. One day.
I'm will a she big Suzanne won't. Fan.
Okay. Kurt and Steven, they're going to go and meet their dates. Okay, so Caro, she goes off with Kurt in the carriage. Steven is going to go off with... with
so stupid. Don't laugh.
And Steven goes off with Annie, and they are going off to the bounce house. All right. So... Kurt, still hung up about the stupid ex.
Man, who hurt him? Like, he's, like, very fixated on the, like, the child part is not important to him, which is, like, probably good news. But he's, like, very concerned about the fact that there is an ex involved, and, like, he really needs mm-hmm. to talk about what this looks like. It's like, bro, they're divorced. Like, I'm pretty sure that if she wanted to be with him.
Never thought about that before.
Like, divorcing is a lot of, like, money and work. Don't you think that, like, if she wanted to be with this guy, like, she would be? She wouldn't have gone through all of this, like, money and work to, like, separate from him?
Well, do you think that he feels like that... it's just going to be like a threat, like a competition to have like the ex-husband around? I just feel like that he just thinks it's going to be weird.
I mean, it's not like he lives with her.
I don't know.
Like, what does he think is going to happen? He's going to come and pick up the child every once in a while mm-hmm. and they're going to have an interaction in the driveway. Like, I just don't understand what he's so fixated on, but it is apparently like such a big deal. And it's causing issues because Carolyn is being like dismissive about it. Mm-hmm. Like, this is like a big issue in their relationship. And he's like, really trying to like get some sort of conversation. Like, oh, they're draining. They're draining me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just such negative energy, Rob. Okay.
All right. Well, let's go to Steven. Steven is on the date.
Let's get some Oreos and Twinkies into me because I need some positive feelings.
Twinkies. Oreos, Bud Light, and a bounce house. What could be better?
I mean, in comparison to the other date, nothing, if you're asking me. Mm-hmm. I don't think that those things go together. I think, honestly, they're very lucky. Well, mm-hmm. they're lucky that Brianna didn't come because, like, I think that there probably would have been, like, a big mess in the bouncy castles with the Bud Light, the Twinkie. Like, she's rolling on Twinkies. Like, there's Oreo cookie crumbs in every crevice of the bouncy castles at that point. Like,
and Jenny, could you ever imagine eating Oreo cookies and drinking a beer at the same time?
Disgusting. Disgusting. Like, at most, with a Bud Light, like a popcorn or a tortilla chip, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe something with a salty.
Salty. Yeah. I'm not like, ew. It was. I don't think that, like, for most of the date, the pile of Oreos and Twinkies looked untouched, which I think was the right move because it just did not pair well.
Yeah.
But again, this is supposed to be not a fancy day.
It's poor food.
So it's whatever was in the pantry.
What poor people eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess so. Like, mm-hmm.
Look, you see it's sad. It's sad. But, you know, a majority of people that are below the poverty line, I mean, that's like the average date that they have stop and pick up some Oreos and Twinkies and you know, a Bud Light, and they go to the bounce house.
Yeah, which, like, I'm sure that bouncy castle, like, was, like, $400 to rent for, like, 2 hours.
That's what they do, Jenny. Don't just sit here on your high horse and mock what the common people do.
Literal high horses. Mm-hmm. Horses.
That's what people do. That's, like, your average Friday night.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why Steven, this was like, you know, very familiar for him, but, even he couldn't believe, how this went.
Honestly, if you'd asked me on the first night, if I'd been doing this, I never would have expected this.
Yeah. I mean, how could he?
He rolled up to this like beautiful lot with like a castle. It's not a castle. And he didn't predict that he would be bouncing in a bouncy castle with a belly full of Oreos.
He would have never guessed that winded. At the start of this adventure.
Like, he sounds like he's having a hard time.
Yeah.
Honestly, if you asked me on the first night if I'd been doing this, I never would have expected this. Really good.
To be fair, I think he probably had to chew his own food.
Yes. Well, that's the good thing about the bounce house that, you know, it's kind of like a soaking thing that he could just put like the Oreos in his mouth. And if Annie like jumps.
Yeah. Yeah. His teeth will just chomp it.
Yes. He doesn't have to.
Gravity. Or
he doesn't have
something.
To chew anything.
Yeah.
in the bounce house. Okay.
Mom would be so proud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So back at the manor. Suzanne and Brianna are talking. Brianna is literally spiraling.
Yeah.
Suzanne is knitting, but she's not tripping.
Yeah. She, even though she literally acknowledges she's five steps behind the other women, she's like, I mean, later in this episode, she says that she worries all the time, but I'm sorry. There's like no one on this show that seems as chill as Suzanne.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big Suzanne fan.
Yeah. She's unique. I mean, she's quirky.
Yeah. She knits.
She knits.
She's chill.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I if anything, I aspire to be more like Suzanne.
She beats her own drum.
Yeah. She stays beating her own drum.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
True inspiration.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. What anyway, like Carolyn's like, look, whatever, forget this, let's just, we'll work on it, stop it. And
their
Kirk's like,
conversations
okay.
are absolutely
tedious.
It's like, oh,
did they even kiss like, on this date?
They did. Yeah, they did. I think both couples made out in the back of the car on the way home, and okay. there was actually a clip of like Kurt like going to cover the camera that was like looking in on the back seat. So mm-hmm. I don't know if they were trying to insinuate hanky panky.
Yeah, take it easy.
But there was something going on. Also, Kurt or Steven pockets an Oreo.
He put an Oreo in his pocket?
In his back pocket. And then he sat in a car.
And then he ate it?
Well, I didn't see him eat it, but like he put
was
it
was this
in
a dare?
No, he was like, they were getting ready to like leave the date mm-hmm. and Steven puts a Oreo in his back pocket. He's like, oh, you never know. You might need it for later.
For what?
But it's like, I don't know. I don't know what he gets up to.
Yeah.
Better
an Oreo than a Twinkie.
Well, yeah, that would be worse in the back pocket. But this goes back to my theory that they're not being well fed.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, this is the most food I've seen all day. I'm going to pocket some of this
for
later.
I did see some like appetizers out for the women at the manor.
Well, they needed something to balance the like the wine glasses that were like filled to the top. There was like a scene of the girls back at the house while the pairs were on their date and they're all like hanging out on the couch. And I love this. I love when the girls are just like being cool and hanging out with each other and being nice friends, but like they're all like have wine glasses filled to the brim.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so even though it was one of the drier episodes, like
yeah, still
was it?
Yeah. Did anybody pass out?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if they did, we didn't see it.
We didn't see it. Okay. All right. So everybody comes back, and there's some kind of like Ocean's 11 type plan that's happening. And I didn't even really understand what they were trying to do. It seems like the women are like, okay, here's the plan. Whitney, you're going to use the gold coin. We're going to distract Carolyn so that you get away and have a date with Kurt. And Carolyn will never know.
It was confusing because it seems like the one uniting thing of the women is like kind of just not liking Carolyn and being annoyed that she like it very clearly feels like she's the front runner or like the only person that Kurt is truly considering. Mm-hmm. So it seems like they come together to like champion Whitney to like kind of foil like the date with Carolyn without interrupting it. But like they don't want Whitney to interrupt the date with Carolyn, and they don't want Carolyn to find out about the date so that she can't interrupt it. But they're also trying to do it to get under Carolyn's skin. So I'm like very confused about what the ultimate plan is.
And I thought they were going to try to distract Carolyn so they could have the date, but also that they set up the date like right in front of the house and all watch the date from the window so that like should Carolyn discover what's going, like, hey, where is everybody? What are you looking at? Oh my God.
Yeah, like I thought the point was make Carolyn mad and insecure and let her spiral so that she, you know, self-sabotages. Yeah. Because as long as Carolyn's in the game, all of these women are getting less attention. So they're kind of uniting against her here. I thought the point was that, like, you know, let her find out about it. And then the thing that frustrated me the most about this whole situation is, like, we never got any resolution about whether she even found out about it.
Well, she never reacted to it. And then at the end of the episode, when it's like, Whitney, you know, Kurt and Steven, they're like, okay, yeah, we want to keep you in the manor. And it's like, hey, that was a great, they acknowledged that they had the date the other night.
Yeah.
And Carolyn wasn't like, when did you have a date?
I feel like it was such a missed opportunity, especially because they edited it so that there was like the, okay, like Carolyn's home. Like we can't let her know that like Whitney's like off with Kurt now. And so then you got the clips of like Carolyn, instead of like going to like the room where all the girls are, she goes and does like her confessional. And then that's like clipped with the clips of Kurt and Whitney like having their date, and like there was like some sort of music paired with it where it was supposed to be like, oh, she has no idea. And then there was just no resolution.
None.
I'm upset.
Mm-hmm.
They made me feel like there was going to be some sort of confrontation.
No.
And even if there wasn't a confrontation, that there was at least like she found out about it and we could have gotten at least a confessional where she says something shady about Whitney. We didn't even get anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What the hell, guys?
I don't know. Do you think that she found out about it and just didn't care?
I guess maybe she, I mean, like, that I, is kind of, I,
I've
also,
got Kurt under my love spell.
But you can also get a soundbite from that. Mm-hmm. I just don't understand why they would build up this whole storyline of like all the, okay, these girls are all in competition for the same men, mm-hmm. but you know what? They're going to rise together to support one woman to get her own personal time with one of these men and not be jealous about it because it's for the common goal of pissing off Carolyn, who they all don't like. And we just get no resolution to it. Why?
Mm-hmm. Yes. We love pissing off Carolyn. We will all work together for our common goal. But I guess they never told her about it.
I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why do they package it that way then?
I don't know. Makes no sense. All right.
Like, they didn't have to do the whole, I guess they, you know,
they had
content.
Nothing else this week. we have to talk about Whitney's date. Okay, so Whitney shows up. A little embarrassing for Steven. A little humbling.
It was so awkward.
A little humbling.
Yeah.
Because we talked about it, like, oh, well, we don't know. We got a rivalry. Good old-fashioned rivalry. Who's Whitney going to pick? She's got a gold coin.
So she does this thing where she asks Kurt to pick one of the things behind her back. And what I thought she was going to do there is that she was going to give the illusion that she...
Oh, that would be smart.
That she was like you know, she was just going to see which one of them picked the coin and she was going to go with that person. But whoever, if it was Kurt, no matter what, she was going to use the coin. I thought she was doing that so that she didn't make Stephen feel like shit for asking Kurt right in front of him. But instead she's just like, Kurt, I've got a coin in one hand and bourbon in the other.
Yeah.
And Stephen's like, have a good night.
Do you think that maybe she saw the Oreo in his back pocket and thought, okay, Stephen, I think that you need to go change.
Do you think that she saw something circular in Stephen's back pocket and thought, what is that? Do you think that maybe she thought it was like a prophylactic? Is that the word?
So she's like, oh, this guy. Where does this guy get off? That's very presumptive, sir.
He brought a condom to his date with Annie.
Yes. What a scumbag.
To the freaking bouncy castle?
Yeah, to the bounce house. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the whole thing is one giant prophylactic.
It's just an Oreo. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that's like a Seinfeld like episode.
Yeah, he had the nerve to presume that things were going to go all the way. He brought his prophylactic with us.
It's just an Oreo. Mm-hmm. Who puts an Oreo in their back pocket?
Mm-hmm. Only an insane person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I'm working out the Seinfeld plot where then somebody needed a condom and then they only had an Oreo. Yeah.
Yeah. All they had was an Oreo. Okay.
All right. But here comes Whitney, and Whitney says, "Here's my coin, and here's my bourbon." I noticed in this episode, Jenny, I feel like that we've taken a new direction where I feel like that we have a lot of like bourbon, like scotch, like all of a sudden this seems new for the show.
Yeah. Cause before it was like all just, it was champagne or Bud Light.
Now, like, all right, we're in the second stage of the game. Hard liquor.
Yeah. Like we gotta ramp this up. There's less people here, so there's less like opportunities for somebody to be a mess. Mm-hmm. So we gotta get to the hard stuff at this point.
Yeah. Moving on to the hard liquor.
We're graduating.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So Whitney and Kurt, they have a date. And Kurt is kissing Whitney, and Whitney was excited.
We may have kissed.
They did, yeah. Caro never reacts.
We never know if she even found out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, all right, it's the next day. The guys are going to bring some sweets over to smooth things over. Nothing is going to, heal maybe some jealous hearts like continental breakfast.
And I feel like this isn't the first time they've done that. Mm-hmm. Like, this is all blurring into one thing for me, but I feel like this isn't the first time.
A lot of pastry.
Yeah. Like, didn't they bring like croissants one week or something? Yep. Like, they're always just bringing like it, and it is always continental breakfast. It's a muffin, it's some sort of.
The women in this house, we don't give the women eggs. That's for the men.
The men need the protein.
Men can get a hot breakfast. The ladies can just carbo load.
You get a piece of white bread to soak up the champagne.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We get a lot of one-on-ones. They are not super exciting.
No. It was more so just like, I haven't talked to this person in several days. I need to make them feel special. Mm-hmm. I need to remind the TV viewers that this person is on the show and might be in contention.
Yeah. Kurt talks to Calla. She's a tough one to crack. Steven talks to Amber. He tells Amber the story of how people were expecting big things from him. And he was expecting big things from him. But then Grandpa died, and then you never got over it.
I didn't really understand how those things connected. I did feel like there, like that was like super cut sort of, to the point where I didn't really know how the expecting good or big things from himself had anything to do with his grandfather passing. But I wondered, I mean, this was like one of the more personal like moments that Steven has had. And he like, again, we get content between Steven and Amber where it's like he feels very comfortable with her. But I just don't really get to see, like, cause he's the one, isn't Amber the one that he said that his mom would be very like,
yes, his mom would like her. Yes.
Yeah. So, but do you think him saying that people expected big things from him?
Oh,
indicates,
was this a tell
that he has money? Because why did people have these expectations? Why did they
That's
expect
a good point.
Things from
yeah,
him?
Why are they expecting so much from, like, what were they expecting from Steven? To chew his food?
Because that's not happening. Mm-hmm. Don't expect these mm-hmm. things.
Yes. Would you say Steven had the imposter syndrome?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I think so, for sure. Mm-hmm. He's showing up to school and all of these children dress themselves.
Mm-hmm. I can't even
fed themselves cereal.
who am I? Can't even.
Big things for myself.
Can't even. Okay. Kurt meets with Suzanne. Boy, she's interesting. She's quirky. Oh, my
God. She's an individual.
Yeah, she's an individual.
Just the worst things that you want to hear about yourself.
She beats her own drum.
Oh, it's just, yeah, it's sad because...
She it's has, just, yeah, she has a nose ring.
I'm a big Suzanne fan.
Rob, what's wrong with nose rings?
That's a part of her character.
Yeah, that's like, she's
makes
quirky.
Her unique, only person in the house. Yeah.
Yeah, no one else has a nose ring.
Mm-hmm. She has personality.
Mm-hmm. She has an edge. She wore a dark lipstick one time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't know anything else about this woman.
Yeah. Other than that, yeah. She's mysterious. All right. Brianna. Oh, but let poor Brianna go.
Oh, no. She just needs another pep talk from Martin, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She hasn't had her time with Martin.
Yeah. Like, Steven is like, well, I just wish you could see things from my perspective, that you're great. You're, you know, then date her.
Yeah.
Stop just telling her you are like, oh, like, yeah, like I could totally see something with her. You're like, you're sending her mixed signals.
And I'm starting to understand where she's coming from with the Annie thing. Like, we talked about this last week and I was like, there must be some sort of storyline between Brianna and Annie because she keeps on mentioning like Annie's had more time with her or with him. And so I just like, again, Annie was on the winery date and Brianna has been at home.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is kind of a slap in the face that he picked Annie for this date and didn't pick her. If the whole reason that those three women got left behind from the winery date is because he was most confident about those like people, then why wasn't she picked for the date? So as much as they're like dogging this poor girl right. for like not having self-esteem, like you're not really giving her enough validation here, bro.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm team Brianna on this one.
Right.
Sorry.
Right.
Okay. I mean, I always am.
How could you she's not be? Queen. She rolled over she's on a hot queen. Dog. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
She's the best.
We get Amanda. Amanda is kind of like getting a little over it also, where I think that Amanda felt like she had a shot at this. I think that when Kurt took Caro on the date, Amanda's mm-hmm. like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. And I mean, I have to think that like, because Amanda and the other girls like really rallied behind Whitney. Like Amanda seemed very supportive of like, okay, I'm in on Whitney trying to like screw things up for Carolyn. And I'm guessing that just, again, maybe it just really had no impact on Carolyn and that's why it made no content because there was like a clear shift in Amanda's energy from like when the girls were just like drinking wine at home and like she was like vibing and like, oh yeah, Whitney, like you're going to use your gold coin on Kurt. It's going to be good. And then like the next day she's like, yeah, I'm thinking about leaving. Like what happened?
Right. And I don't think Amanda, this is going to work for her because it's like, okay, Carolyn already carved out, like, I'm going to be the one who's no fun and make Kurt miserable. Mm-hmm. Like Amanda, like your lane was, okay, I'm the fun one. Now you now you are not the fun one and are getting like sort of like, you know, doing like the Carolyn thing. And while it worked for Carolyn, I don't know if it's going to work here for Amanda. I was surprised she didn't get kicked off.
I was very worried about Amanda at this point. Because, I mean, they teased in, like, the beginning of the show, they made it, like, they made us think, like, oh, maybe this is finally when Carolyn goes home. There was not a freaking chance that Carolyn was going. But I did get worried for a second, and I'm wondering, do you think that there was any part of her that was like, hey, you know, Carolyn has been insecure and clingy and, like, upset with Kurt and she's getting asked on one-on-one dates. It's working for her. So is there anything to this where maybe there's like a tinge of strategy where, you know,
I don't think so. Like, I feel like that we were seeing Amanda being sincere of like, hey, look, if I'm just one of the top three or four, like, let me live, let me go.
Well, and I think when you're talking about leaving, you're like, okay, I've done what I needed to do here. So, you know, like get me out of here. Mm-hmm. But that, like, that is very true, though, is like that was her thing, was she was like the reprieve from Carolyn, you know, mm-hmm. She was like the fun, relaxed, not insecure person. And if she's like veering into that lane, then it's like there's not going to be a reprieve anymore. This is when you see Whitney rise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. OK, well, Amanda, somehow she stays. I thought she was gone.
Well, I mean, I think that Kurt is like encouraging her to stay. So it'd be a pretty dick move of him if he's like, you know, like stay the night. Like, we'll talk tomorrow. Like, just like, you know, don't go yet, for him to just like eliminate her. Because I think at this point for Amanda, this is very much her trying to be in control of her own narrative, where she's being like, I feel bad about myself because I don't want to just be like another girl that you're dating. I don't want to feel like embarrassed watching you go off with other women and it makes me look bad. So this was like Amanda kind of being like, you know what? Like, this isn't for me. Maybe I'm going to like, if you're not interested in me the way that I am interested in you, I'm just going to peace. And it would be such a dick move of him to convince her to stay and just be like, I'm in control. It's Joe Millionaire, not Jane Millionaire. Like, just sends her off the next day. Mm-hmm. That would be cold-blooded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I guess we have to keep the intrigue of, like, who will Kurt pick if it's not going to be Carolyn also.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Yeah, if there's this many episodes left, I can't imagine the Carolyn versus Amanda story is going to be done quite yet.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. Not with 4 weeks left to ready, set, Joe. Jenny, let's get talking about the elimination. We hear from Martin the butler and an announcement.
Pack your bags, get gussied up.
Yeah, we have an elimination. What? What?
I mean, Scott St. Pierre is still wondering, why are they confused?
Wait, what? No.
They must not have a consistent schedule. And I will say that, like, the eliminations in terms of, like, how many women go home does seem pretty inconsistent. But, like, there has to be some sort of, like, predictable schedule. Or, like, do you think that they always do it, like, at a different time of day? It always seems to be at night. But, like, I don't know. They seemed especially shocked. They're like, oh, I knew it. But like, there's people yelling and like,
are there a lot of off days? I feel like it's, you do an activity or it's an elimination. You do an activity.
It's like Survivor. Yeah. It's like, okay, we have, you know, immunity today and then we have travel that night. And the next day there's a reward competition. Like,
Yeah. It's like the first day was a date. Then it was nighttime. Then the guys brought things over. They had one-on-ones, right? Was there another night in between?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Nothing happened and they didn't show us.
Nothing happened.
Okay. Do you think they give them a night to themselves?
No. This, like, this costs money to make this show.
This Airbnb that they're renting in Georgia is costing them money.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, all right. Let's talk about who is going. They look at all the paintings.
Your favorite part.
Oh, yes.
They had to have a drink for this one. They also pulled out, like, I don't know, bourbon scotch. Or scotch or whatever. Yeah,
or Snapple. Okay. All right. Boy. Let's take a look. Also, there was some wild scene going on, like Girls Gone Wild, like bathtub stuff going on.
Yeah, I was confused. Like when they called the elimination, like half of them were like all soapy in a hot tub or something.
Mm-hmm.
In a bathtub.
Yeah. Yeah, that was like some producer trying to like get advanced on the staff, like
Winston.
Yeah. How about everybody gives everybody a bath in the bathtub
while we're waiting for the guys. Like this.
Yeah. Okay. Let's look at the pictures. Oh, boy. It was classic Caro that they talked about. What would their life look like? And she was just like, don't even worry about it. And I was just like, hook, line, and sinker.
And like Steven literally says that he doesn't think that Carolyn is the right person for Kurt. Do you think that he ever says this to Kurt?
I think he says it every day. He's a hater.
Yeah. But like, you think he's actually saying it to Kurt and saying like, yeah, Carolyn sucks. She brings out the worst in you.
I don't think he says it like that
bluntly.
Well, that bluntly. But I feel like we have heard him say things like, yeah, I just don't think that she's here for, I think it would like she's being very unfair and she's not being fair.
Causing drama.
And she isn't here for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, all right.
Doesn't matter because Kurt doesn't listen.
Yeah. Brianna, she is a good personality, but why is she so insecure?
I don't know, Steven. Why?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She should just believe whatever you say.
Yeah.
Without the actions to line it up.
Kurt's talking about Suzanne.
I'm a big Suzanne fan.
Not that big.
Clearly.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess more than Steven. I don't think Steven ever talked to Suzanne.
Steven never talked to her. Exactly.
They've never spoken.
Yeah. It's like, that's on you, dude. Okay, elimination time. We go through it. Kind of an interesting wrinkle. I like the Whitney goes first, and then Kurt and Steven are like allowed to talk to her.
Yeah, I like sometimes they have like a conversation, and sometimes they like do the hugs, and then other times like it just seems like they quickly go upstairs.
And sometimes you get like the, can I talk to you later? I need to.
One of my favorite things from Whitney being called first was when Kurt said that Whitney is the most genuine person he's ever met. Carolyn's face was not impressed. Not at
all. Why would you say that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, yeah, if you're Carolyn, like, I wouldn't want to hear that. Like, that would hurt me more than like, oh, this person's so hot. It's like they're saying somebody else is the most genuine person.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
She didn't like it.
Annie, the gentleman would like to have you stay for another week at the manor.
Mm-hmm.
Kala. They can't. They need to keep working on the crack. They can't put it down. They're gonna keep trying.
Another week of the escape room.
Yeah, and then Suzanne, fourth person. Unfortunately, your time at the manor has ended tonight.
How do you feel about like the changing up of the format?
I didn't hate it, but I thought
it was
eliminate two people.
I know. That's why I was like, so I was messaging back and forth with Sam Moore while this was happening. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I was like, I think I might lose a fave tonight. And then I said,
why, who's your fave?
Well, I like Brianna and I like mm-hmm. Amanda.
Yeah.
And so I was worried about one of the two of them. And then he's like, oh, I think just one person's going. And I was like, oh, really? Well, what is the, like, what's the order here? And then when we get Suzanne being eliminated at four, it's just like, you're just yada-yadding the rest of them. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to get another elimination, right?
Mm-hmm. Nope.
They're playing with us.
This is Joe Millionaire, baby. We play by our own rules.
Yeah. We aren't The Bachelor.
Yeah.
We eliminate the person fourth, and then we just go through a bunch of people after. We make you watch that.
Yeah, how about that?
Honestly, if you'd asked me on the first night if I'd been doing this, I never would have expected this.
No, none of us would.
That audio is upsetting to me with him panting.
Panting, yeah. Yeah, we kick people off of fourth.
What is this, a free for all?
Yeah.
It is a free for all.
Okay. All right.
They wanted to have this big moment of getting down they wanted to have this big moment of getting down to Carolyn and Amanda.
I guess.
But okay.
And then correct me if I'm wrong, Jenny. Kurt's like, Suzanne, can I see you? Can I get 2 minutes with you? And then did we ever see that?
Yeah, they showed it, and he said the same shit he says to her every time he talks to her, unique. That she's really unique.
You're
and so
unique and interesting.
You beat that drum.
You
keep
beat
beating
your
that
own
drum. I just love the way you beat that drum,
yeah.
Suzanne. And I love the way you knit
that. I'm a big Suzanne fan.
Well, try being a big Suzanne drum, because she's looking for
something. Beat it.
Oh, no.
All right.
Anyway.
Amber, the gentleman would continue to like to get to know you.
You know what? I'm going to give him a little bit of the sass.
Yeah.
One more week of this sass.
Keep coming back. Keep coming back for that. Okay. Brianna, the gentleman would like you to stay. Okay.
I better see some more effort from Steven. That's all I got to say. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. Carolyn and Amanda, you're the last ones. All right, Caro, the gentleman would like to continue to get to know you. Well, Kurt would.
I love this because, like, for most of the women, there is clearly a person that's interested
stop.
In
don't
them.
Stop saying gentlemen. Yeah.
So I love that this is, like, almost, like, shade to Carolyn that, like, Stephen doesn't like her. It's mm-hmm. like, well, really, you know, it was mostly Kurt that was lobbying mm-hmm. for this. Like, if Stephen had his
one
had
of
his
the
way,
gentlemen would really like you to stay, Kurt.
Stephen would really like you to get the hell out of here, but he does not have the final decision.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm telling you, Stephen and Carolyn have beef.
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't think he's good enough.
Yeah.
Or she's not good enough for Kurt. Okay.
Yeah. His boy.
Yeah. I think this ends with Steven is going to become Kurt's butler.
Wait, Steven's going to become Kurt's
butler? No. Oh. The other way around. Kurt is going to become Steven's butler.
Okay. So this whole thing has been training mm-hmm. for Kurt to learn how to become a butler.
Yes. Yes.
For Steven.
Yes. That he will, at the end of this, he will be born a butler.
Look at this! A king is
a butler.
Born. All hail the king!
All hail the butler!
Martin takes off. He's like, there was a reason this jacket was so huge. It was never intended for me.
I thought you were going to say that, like, Kurt crawls out of, like Kurt is in the jacket.
He's
like
in the jacket.
Yeah, like
yes.
He's on Kurt's
That is
shoulder.
What I meant. Yes, he's in the jacket the whole time.
He was there the whole time.
The magic trick.
That's what this show needs is more magic.
Yeah. Wait, how did you fit Steven in there the whole time?
Don't ask.
Okay.
It's my little secret.
Finally. All right. Amanda, you two can stay. No one else is going home. Only Suzanne.
He asks her to catch and he throws her an avocado.
Yep. Prop work.
And then she runs upstairs with the avocado.
Yes. Well, first, Martin is like,
this is a free for all.
What's up with the produce?
Yeah.
What's going on with the avocado?
Yeah.
Where did you get that from? Why are you?
There is no food that is allowed to be smuggled in the premises.
Yeah. We don't give you avocados.
Mm-hmm.
It's eggs and pastries.
Mm-hmm. That's it. So that's their thing. This was my favorite part. So she has the avocado. Look, Caro knows what the avocado is. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
She knows what the avocado is. And you know what? It's not funny.
It's like an inside joke between them, but it's not really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Not really funny. I don't think that Carolyn gets it, you know? I would say, maybe.
It's not fun. It's not funny.
It's not funny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Carolyn, classically the most hilarious person on the
cast. So. Hilarious. Yeah.
She knows.
Mm-hmm.
She's always bringing the laughs.
She's always bringing the laughs. And she famously hates the avocado.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like an inside joke between them, but it's not really funny.
Yeah.
It's not really funny.
Yeah. Like, if it was funny, she would laugh. She would be the first to laugh at it. If it was funny.
She would be the biggest fan of Amanda and Kurt having an inside joke if it were actually funny.
If it were actually a good joke.
But it's actually just not a good joke, objectively. Has nothing to do with the fact that it's Amanda and Kurt's joke.
So, get out of here with that. Next time, Jenny, we're finally going to meet the parents.
Woo! I'm ready for this. I think it's going to be good, Rob.
This was, I think, last week. They knew that there was a dud coming. They knew that, like,
They showed us a little bit. They kept us roped
a little bit of the sass. Because they knew, okay, worst episode of the season is coming up. How do we let the audience know we're going to show them a super tease? And in the super tease, we'll show them that they're going to meet the parents.
Yeah, but not yet.
Not yet. Because basically they were like, all right, let's do the next time on. There's literally nothing to show them. We have a race. We're going to smash watermelons and then and a bounce house. We have nothing to show for next time on. We need to do the super tease.
Yeah. Yeah. And it worked. Unfortunately.
Yeah. We didn't cancel the podcast. If they would have shown us the teaser for this episode, we would have just canceled.
Yeah, there wouldn't have been enough iTunes reviews.
Yeah, we wouldn't have gotten enough iTunes reviews, and we would have just hung it up.
What if we had actually gotten Gallagher there to host the watermelon smashing? Would that have revived it?
What if
you had gotten a tease of Gallagher on the episode?
Yeah, what if Gallagher was the butler? That would be doing the butler at Lakeshore Manor.
Yes. What a life you lead here in the big brother house.
The big Lakeshore Manor. I would love a revival of this format with Martin and Gallagher as the two leading men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would it be Gallagher or Callagher? Could they crack the code?
Oh.
Can you crack the code with a sledgehammer for a Callagher? Okay.
Oh, boy.
Jenny, in this house, I feel like we have almost nobody to stan. Mm-hmm.
I stan. I'm predicting to stan some family members in future episodes.
Yes, yes.
I think they're going to bring the heat. I hope so.
They'll bring the heat. Okay. Yeah. Let's read some of our Apple Podcast reviews.
Yes.
Okay. This is from NNN Mel. In this house, we stand, Rob and Jenny. As they say in my country, this Joe Millionaire coverage is the best there is. Hilarious from beginning to end. And why am I still watching the most absurd show on television? You don't have to.
You really don't.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. But as long as you listen to this, that's all that we're looking for.
Yes. Okay. Natalie says, somehow, some way, the Joe Millionaire podcast continues to beat its own drum every week. It gets my gold coin any day.
I would say we are beating a drum here.
It's unique. It's it's personable.
Quirky.
Quirky.
I've seen that podcast, Knitting.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big Joe Millionaire podcast fan.
Are you a fan?
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Anything else? I'm feeling, I need a pep talk because I'm feeling a little like Brianna right now.
Okay.
I don't have confidence in myself right now. I'm just feeling like I shouldn't be here. We don't belong. I'm not feeling like we're getting the love from these episodes.
I think that you need to remember the people when these people that have been leaving reviews week after week are telling you that they love this podcast, that they love your commentary on this show, that you need to start seeing yourself through their lens, okay?
Yeah.
There's a reason why they want you to podcast about this show specifically and why they want you specifically to podcast. And you know what? Like, they see something great in you podcasting about this show, but they're not going to continue listening to this podcast if you don't start seeing how great it is for you, okay?
I just feel like people are expecting big things from me, and I'm expecting big things from me.
Well, I think that, you know, you need to change your perspective on what a big thing is.
Okay, I guess so. All right.
Subjective.
Yes. Okay. All right, Jenny. Yeah. Anything else about Joe Millionaire?
Listen, Joe Millionaire we've come this far, and you know, it's been a journey, and I feel like I've invested so much of my time and life into it at this point that it'd be a disservice to not see it through.
Yeah.
And so I will be here, Rob.
I love to look at the Joe Millionaire hashtag and check out what's going on.
It's great.
At Stephen McBee says, talking to I Am So Amber is so easy. It's like a Rupert tweet.
No, the entirety of Joe Millionaire Twitter is Rupert tweet.
Yes. All right, well, how about Kala_Mac says, when people ask if you're still on hashtag Joe Millionaire, all caps, still here, bitches. Tune in tonight, 8/7 Central.
My favorite is, like, you'll see, like other reality celebrities, like, tweeting about it. Mm-hmm. Like, I see, like, Heidi Montag, like, tweets about Joe Millionaire.
Yep.
And, like, Tamar Braxton, tweets about it.
Yes. So, yeah, it's just like the in-show to talk about.
It really is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It takes over my whole timeline. Yeah. Like, Celebrity Big Brother gets completely obliterated from 8 to 9 Eastern on Thursday. Like, Joe Millie Twitter just takes off.
Yeah.
And it's because the account will retweet everything.
Yep. Of course. Yeah. Friend of the podcast, Heidi Montag says, we are loving at Joe Mill Fox watching with Monila Vador and Bet.
Okay. Do you think Spencer's watching?
I don't know. I think he'd be tweeting about it if he was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, all the it's a who's who.
Yeah, it's a real who's who on Joe Milley Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, if you want to be hanging out with all the cool people on Twitter, then
that's where it's at.
Yes. Okay. Jenny tweeted. That was from last week. I see. I did top tweets, not latest tweets.
Do you think that
I'm getting all tweets from last week?
I see that some of the women that have been eliminated are still tweeting.
Look, that the moths are still going to hang around the flame. This is Joe Millionaire. When you're on the hottest show on TV,
yeah,
you're not going to stop live tweeting once you're eliminated.
Yeah. You can't miss out on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. You know what? The thing about Joe Millionaire, it's a little bit of like, just like a sort of like a, it's prestige television. I'm not sure necessarily if like everybody's watching it, but like the important people are watching it.
Yeah. Like you and I.
Yes. Jenny, what's coming up for you?
What is coming up for me? You know, I'm between this and paying attention to the Celebrity Big Brother. Mm-hmm. I believe I will be popping up on another podcast related to that show.
Yes.
In the next week. I think maybe next week, Rob. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Yes. A little. I can't. Am I allowed to give away things?
Well, I don't even know what you're giving away. The schedule?
Yeah.
Give it away. Know. What
are we going to get sloppy next
week?
Yeah,
the slop.
Yeah, let's get sloppy, yeah. Rob.
Look, we don't book Jenny Autumn on patron shows to not tell people that she's going to be on. Okay?
Appreciate that.
Yes.
Yeah. So preparing for that next week. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's a whirlwind, the Celebrity Big Brother. I feel like it just started and it's like over in like a week and a half.
It's really
something.
The antithesis of Joe Millionaire.
It truly is.
Started very long ago and still has many more weeks to go.
Do you remember January 6th when we started this?
Oh my God. That day will live in infamy for me.
It will. When we started this journey together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And yes. Besides that, existing in the world. You can follow me on Twitter at Jenny Autumn, where I'm sometimes tweeting about things.
Yes. Okay.
Celebrity Big Brother.
Well,
sometimes.
Jenny, thank you for carrying this recap tonight.
Oh, wow. Me?
Yes.
No.
Yes. Yes.
No. We carry it together.
Mm-hmm. No, you're a new queen is born. All hail the queen.
I want that plastic tiara.
Look at this.
You should see me open a champagne bottle, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. We have a million things going on right now. Celebrity Big Brother, Survivor previews, the Amazing Race, much more. It's all at robinswebsite.com. Make sure you subscribe. robinswebsite.com/subscribe. We appreciate your feedback and your podcast star ratings also. Look, it's not a sure thing. We're coming back next week. No,
please keep this energy, okay?
No reviews. Might have to find a different show to watch. What else is on Thursday?
Something. Call me Cat.
What is on?
Call me Cat. Right.
Call me Cat. Yes, that's gonna be. We're gonna recap. Call me Cat.
Yeah.
Yes. With
call
Blossom.
Me Recat.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you so much for listening to the best people in the entire world. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.